Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street, and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them.
United Soviet States of the United States of America, I pledge. I've come up with a new pledge for this country. Last night, as I was falling asleep after a full bottle of red wine, I couldn't sleep because these words started coming through my head. I pledge allegiance to the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them. And so we recorded it for you today because the country has fundamentally been taken over by a gang. Now, we hear about MS-13, we hear about the Crips, and we hear about the Bloods, and I'm sure they're to be worried about because they're violent and all of that. And, of course, they don't wear sharkskin suits or whatever they wear on Wall Street today and white shirts. They don't speak perfect waspies. They may speak different languages and with different accents, and the skin color, of course, is not white. But when you wake up and you realize that the country's been taken over by a gang that's far more dangerous than these other gangs, it is enough to put fear in your heart, lads. And that's why on the Savage Nation today, we're going to play a little ditty for you, a little pirate song in honor of Hank Paulson, pirate in chief. Let us hear 15 Men on a Dead Man's Chest, and I will sing along.
Men on a dead, on a dead man's chest.
Yo ho, ho, and a bottle, of rum.
Drink and the devil, and had done for the rest.
Yo ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Tool of rum, rum, rum. Tool of rum. A mate was fixed by the bosun's pike. The bosun brain with a marlin spike. And Cookie's throat was marked by night. It had been gripped by fingers ten. They lay all good dead men. Break all day in a boozing can. Rum, 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 rum. Bottle of rum. 15 men.
15 men
of the whole ship's list. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Dead and be damned and the rest gone whist. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Bottle of rum, rum, rum. Bottle of rum.
The skipper lay with his knob in gore. His axe has cheek at shore.
And the scullion he was stabbed times four. And there they lay in the soggy skies. Down up staring eyes.
Dark sunset and foul sunrise.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum, rum, rum.
15 men of them stiff and stark. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. 10 of the crew bore the murder bark. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Bottle of rum.
Oh, you get the picture. You can tone down the music. Because one thing I've learned is that I have a gallows sense of humor. I've had it all of my life because of youthful issues in my life. I learned that life is, let's put it to you this way. I wasn't raised with a mobile over my crib. I wasn't raised on Mickey Mouse. I wasn't raised on Donald Duck. I was raised in the stark black and white reality of another world. And unfortunately for you, it has worked for me all of my life. Now, I'm not saying I'm a happy man, because who is a happy man? Who is happy 24/7 but an idiot? I'm an ordinary man like you are. But when I wake up one day and I see that the country's been hijacked by a gang, I mean, I know that politicians are in it for themselves. We've all known that. And you learn to live with it your whole life. You know that some of the swindlers get caught and some of the swindlers don't get caught. And life goes on and America's still great. And then you wake up and you say, wait a minute, this is impossible to believe that one man, Hank Paulson, who I've been telling you for at least months now, I said something's wrong with this hesitating Hank Paulson. I said, doesn't it strike you as odd that Goldman Sachs has created our secretaries of the Treasury for the last two or three times, that one investment bank on Wall Street has been running the country's finances for all of these years, under Bill Clinton as well, by the way. He had a fly fisherman faker who made my flesh crawl, whose name I forget. But the fly fisherman crawler is no longer there. It's Hank Paulson. And I've been saying something's wrong with the picture. He should have been forced aside months ago because of the appearances of a conflict of interest. Do you understand what I just said to you? And I also said to you last Monday on this show, actually it was Tuesday, I was out on Monday. I said to you last Tuesday on this show that Hank Paulson, Bernanke, and Chris Cox, and George Bush have done more damage to this country than Osama bin Laden. I was the first to say to you that everything that Osama bin Laden had dreamed of doing to this country by bringing down the World Trade Centers, and he was unable to do, or that we have overcome, this gang has done to us, and make no mistake about it. This is not the beginning of the end of our problems. This is only the end of the beginning of our problems. And to think that this guy has a pair of chestnuts on him, that he wants Congress to write him a check for $1 trillion, which says, not only do we want $1 trillion from your children's children's children, but we want a blank check and you have no oversight. Now, in a sane nation, of course, the government, if we had a legitimate government, would immediately act to arrest this man and slap him in irons and send him to Devil's Island. But as I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're no longer living in a sane nation. And today, of course, he'd be rewarded by being sent to Fire Island rather than to Devil's Island. So who do we turn to? Who do we, the little people, turn to? If the government itself, who is supposed to protect us, is fleecing us, and I don't mean fleecing us behind the scenes, I mean fleecing us openly and giving us the middle finger saying, drop dead, little man, you can do nothing, because we are God. We are bigger than God. We are, in fact, the universe. We are the masters of the universe. We believe in nothing but profit. Why, then what you do is you play pirate songs and you drink wine and you do whatever you have to do for your savings and you go to sleep and you come up with lyrics such as I did today on the Savage Nation as I fell asleep in a twilight last night after drinking again a good most of a bottle of the Sori San Lorenzo, the Gaia. I swear that Italian wine is my medication right now. I don't know how my mind works, but I'm a lucky man. My creativity never stops. Sick, happy, alive, half dead. No matter what, I'm still churning out ideas. Never stops because I am the Mark Twain of our time. I pledge allegiance to the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street and to the gang for which it stands, one gang indivisible, with liberty and profits for them. Ladies and gentlemen, please rip up the U.S. Constitution. Please get out all copies of the Bill of Rights. Please get out all copies of the National Anthem and throw them in the garbage. Throw them in the fireplace tonight. Because what I have read for you today is the new National Anthem of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street. We are no longer a nation. We are simply a subordinate group of serfs being run by the gang of Wall Street. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I direct you to michaelsavage.com. Where at least you can have a good time looking at the horror of our times. The stories are astounding, frankly. I've never seen anything like this. We've been collecting them over the weekend, and one story is worse than another. My top headline, Treasury Secretary scams taxpayers to bail out Goldman Sachs. That's one man's opinion. Not only are they scamming us, but they're switching over to becoming bank holding companies, which is utterly unbelievable to me. How does this guy Paulson get away with it? In his sane nation, the U.S. Marshals would have him in handcuffs. I don't understand this. Let me put it to you this way. Let's say a black kid sells some crack somewhere in America. He sells $300 worth of crack. He goes away for 10 years. But if you wind up on Wall Street and you rob $1 trillion, you get a statue built to you, which they put in Central Park. So let's play Yo-Ho-Ho and a Bottle of Rum, and I'll take your calls at 1-800-449-8255.
15 men on a dead man's chest, Yo-Ho-Ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest, Yo-Ho-Ho and a bottle of rum. Bottle of rum.
The mate was fixed by the bosun's pipe, the bosun rammer the marlin spike. Bookie's throat was marked delight.
It had been gripped by fingers ten. There they lay, all good dead men. Break a day in a boozing can.
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum, rum, rum. Bottle of rum.
15 men on the whole ship's list. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum.
Welcome back to the One Savage Nation. And remember, throw away all of the copies of the U.S. Constitution that you may have. Please make certain that you burn the national anthem. Please make certain that you're not caught with either of these documents, because you're no longer living in the United States of America. You're living in the nation called Goldman Sachs of Wall Street, and to the gang for which it stands, one gang indivisible with liberty and profits just for them. On MichaelSavage.com, we have some articles about what's going on. Oil has spiked $25 a barrel today over anxiety about the bailout. So don't think I'm making this up as a method of alarming you just for alarming sake or being an alarmist. Oil jumped $25 a barrel as anxiety over the $700 billion bailout plan battered the dollar and touched off frenzied buying of safe haven investments. People are in a shock. They're in shock that this one man, who represents really one firm, not the interests of the American people, in my opinion, could have so much power. Now, for years, we've worried about George Bush. For years, we've asked, why does he leave the border with Mexico open, even though 85-90% of people want it closed? Why are Campos and the other Border Patrol agent, why are they still in jail even though they were doing their job? Why was the government taking the side of the illegal alien drug dealer from Mexico instead of the Border Patrol agents? All the whys now have an answer. Suddenly we have an answer to all the questions, because the interests of the nation have never been preeminent in the Bush administration. It's been the interests of a very small coterie of oligarchs, as you well know. Now, when the interests of the oligarchs, coincidentally, are in the interests of the American people, I say great. Nothing wrong with wealthy men. In fact, God bless wealthy men if they made it honestly. But when the interests of the wealthy men are in conflict with the interests of a nation, why, then you have a little dysfunction, don't you? In fact, you have a big dysfunction. That's what we have. So we have oil spikes $25 a barrel on anxiety over bailout on MichaelSavage.com. On the right, we have jihadist attack in Jerusalem, Moon 17. One of wonderful Palestinian drove a black BMW into a crowd of people at a busy intersection in central Jerusalem. And they want to give back the West Bank, those stupid morons. What a country. I never saw a country committing suicide like Israel, of course, till I see what's going on here. Here we're committing suicide. We're letting the Wall Street pirates get pots of gold and a bailout. Have you heard that one? Have you heard about the $2.5 billion bonus pot put aside by Mr. Paulson for his buddies at Lehman Brothers? Have you read any of this? You haven't read it, have you, lads? Didn't make it to your local paper, did it? Well, go to MichaelSavage.com. It's linked up from the New York Post. It says Lehman elite to get big cut of $25 billion pay pot. In fact, the executives at Lehman Brothers who bankrupted the company are guaranteed the lion's share of a $2.5 billion bonus pot. Lehman had walled off the fund, telling buyer Barclays Capital that it couldn't use the money for anything but severance payments or bonuses to the gangsters, in my opinion. These elite aid at Lehman Brothers have been guaranteed $10 million to $25 million for 2 years. Have you ever heard of anything like this in your entire life? Have you ever heard of any such thievery in your life? Have you heard that Bush wants to bail out foreign banks as well? That is, excuse me, what Bush? Pardon me. Paulson wants to bail out foreign banks as well. Now, why would Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson want to bail out foreign banks as well? Answer, follow the money to Goldman Sachs. Yo, ho, ho, and a bottle of rum. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. It's called the American taxpayer. That's the next story down on michaelsavage.com. On the top right, we have psychological nudity with a new feature. Hear Michael Savage read from his new book. You click and you can hear me actually read one of me stories, lads. NBC joke, Sarah Palin's husband had sex with daughters. That's Saturday Night Dead. That's an example of what drugs do to the mind of sickos on Saturday Night Dead. They made fun of Alaska Governor Sarah Palin in a skit that probed the possibility Palin's husband was having sex with the couple's own daughters. Now, let me ask you something, lads and lassies out there. What if some old conservative skit had shown old Obama and said that, oh, let's probe the possibility that Obama was having sex with the couple's own daughters. Yo-ho-ho, and a bottle of rum, rum, rum. Do you think you'd hear the end of it, my lad? No, you wouldn't, of course, because, you know, there's not only a double, but a triple, or a quadruple. There's a quadruple, not bypass, but a quadruple standard in the United States of America's media, as you well know. 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com. Let us see what else we have. Oh, last Friday, it was interesting. There were articles that said white people are not going to vote for Obama because of racism. And I looked at it very carefully, and it was a poll put together by Stanford University. It had no bearing whatsoever on reality. So my headline says, libs at Stanford University invent racism poll to help Obama. Because if you actually read it, there is no racism inherent. If the guy is a moron, a left-wing moron who looks like a child, the longer you watch Obama, the reason he's slipping in the polls against the old hack McCain is not that the old hack McCain is so great. In fact, the opposite is true. But by comparison, he looks like George Washington compared to a kid who just came out of college in a sweater with a beanie on. The more we see of Obama, the more we realize that he's not too black, my friends, but he's too green. And I've said that so many times that eventually it will resonate with the American people. Obama looks like a very, very naive college type. And he's the last one we want to turn the country over to. Wonderful article by Thomas Sowell, Obama and Hitler, Soaring Rhetoric and Euphoric Crowds. Read it, my friends.
Savage. Bones, 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 bitty bones. Any more Davy Jones of rum and gold and wenches bold. You had your last fill, Billy Bones. Billy Bones, Billy Bones. Good morning,
Dave. Yeah, welcome back to the Savage Nation. Now that we know that a group of pirates have taken over the country, we know it cleanly. Now, they're not wearing pirate outfits, of course. That's not the way things are done. Nice haircuts, nice suits, perfect waspies, Yale, you know, skull and bones. But the main thing to remember here is that this is not the end of it all. This is just the beginning of what's going to happen in this country. And we don't know who to turn to. Now, normally you turn to the head of the Security Exchange Commission, but he's a puppet. I mean, how long have I told you? 6 months to get rid of this guy, Mr. Button Down, whatever his name is, Chris Cox. Again, not accusing him of any conflict of interest, of course. As clean as a whistle, I'm sure, lads. But nevertheless, it seemed to me he was letting him run wild on Wall Street. And surely you'd want somebody to be an Elliot Ness rather than a lackey of the pirates. You don't want a lackey overseeing the pirates because, hey, what you want is a sheriff, not a lackey. But as we find out, there's nobody watching the store. And we must go back again to the Sopranos to get a true picture of what's going on in a simplistic way, of course, not in the high financial terms that you might see from these wonderful esteemed men of Wall Street. And that is when the gang in the Sopranos got a gambler who gambled more than he could afford, and he couldn't even pay the vig, never mind the principal. Why, they moved right into the back office and took over his huge sporting goods store, if you remember that episode. And soon enough, they started selling off the stock and pocketing the money, not reporting it. And before long, they were running first-class airline tickets through his credit card system, and of course, they knew they'd never pay it. And then eventually the store started to thin out with less and less on the shelves until eventually the sporting goods store was left with nothing on the shelves and the store was bankrupt. Yes, lads, that's the picture that I have in my mind. Now, of course, I may be 100% wrong here. I may be 90% wrong, or I may be 50% wrong. I may be 10% wrong. Or, lads, I could be 100% right, couldn't I? Or I could be 90% right. Or 50% right. The answer is we don't know how this is going to play out, but we do know we trust none of these wonderful, esteemed gentlemen on Wall Street, because we understand they've reserved most of the money in the bailout. Why, for themselves, lad. Now, of course, you might turn to the Congress to protect you. Why, the Democrats say that they're going to protect you there for the little guy. They're not the big, bad Republican wolves for the big man. Why, they're for the little man. And you'll notice there's no calls for any kind of restriction from Nancy Pelosi. Why no calls from the great Obama to stop this and put someone else in? You see, lads, because long ago, the old pirates of Wall Street saw what was coming. And so they very wisely spread their gains around. They put some on the red and some on the black. Why, they put 50% on the red and 50% on the black. And as you can see, it paid off, lads. There are no calls for any kind of investigation or regulation. That's what I call intelligence, ladies and gentlemen, real intelligence. And as I said to you earlier, and you can mark it down, why, you could set this in stone, you could chisel it into wood, or you can simply impress it upon your brain. Michael Savage said that the reason Obama's going to lose is not because of race. Obama's not too black. Lads, he's too green for the job. Obama's not too black. He's too green, lads. 1-800-449-8255. WOR, New York City. Bill, what do you think today, my friend?
I'm so fed up with this. And like you said, who do we turn to? I think we should charge these people with something like treason.
Sure. And who do we bring that charge to? Who in the government will take your charge and direct it to the Congress, whose job it is to protect us?
Right. And they're not protecting us.
Right. Isn't the only duty of Congress to uphold the Constitution and to protect the people? Are they protecting the people and upholding the Constitution is the question of the day on the Savage Nation. I think not, lads. I think they're a group of pirates acting more like a gang than they are like a Congress. That's why I'm playing pirate music from Skip Henderson out here in Alameda, California. Thank you, lads. Appreciate it. Yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. I've been playing it all weekend, the pirate music, for some reason. It seems to work today. Okay, Chicago. Rick, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. How are you doing? Hank Paulson, by the way, sold his stock in Goldman Sachs before he became the Secretary of the Treasury.
Oh, yes. They all do that, you see. But they do remember where they come from.
I mean, that was meaningful money. It was around $500 million.
Oh, yes. They all sell off their stock to give the appearance of propriety. But they do remember where they come from. And the reason, of course, is that that's where they go back to. Have you ever noticed how many of them go back where they started from after they come into government to perform public service, Rick? That they all seem to go back where they came from? And have you noticed how many wonderful government public servants seem to enrich themselves by taking jobs with the very people after they're out of office that they were supposed to be watchdogging, such as Rudolph Giuliani, taking a job with an Indian pharmaceutical firm that's dumping adulterated garbage on the U.S. market so badly that the FDA stopped the importation of the drugs from this India company? Who'd they turn to? They turned to good old Rudy Giuliani. Now, I wonder why Rudy took that job to try and make sure that the FDA would make certain that adulterated drugs get reentered into the United States of America. Doesn't that strike you as odd?
I'm commenting on Paulson. I think he's a clean guy. I think he's a smart guy. I think he's doing the best he can. He's working hard. You may not like his result or what program he's coming up with, but it's going to be cleansed by your good friends in Congress, and at least it's going to go through the process, and it's going to be vented. So what else can you ask for? I mean, that's the way.
Well, what I can ask for is him to step aside, Chris Cox to step aside, an immediate congressional investigation – with outside ombudsmen on the committee, not crooks from the Democrat-Republican Party, but outsiders in this country who have an awful lot at stake called the United States of America. I'd like to see the people do the investigation. There are forensic accountants in this country who could do this job better than these creeps like Barney Frank or any of these darn Republicans. That's who, my friend. So don't tell me there's nothing that we can do. There's plenty we can do. And while we're at it, I'm the only one in this country who said we're going bankrupt, yet they're enriching themselves. They're not investigating this bankruptcy, and they're still letting illegal aliens swarm across the border. The emergency rooms are still open to the illegal aliens. I'd close them down immediately, my friends. I'd put a policeman in every emergency room in America. And unless you have citizenship papers, take a walk. Go back where you came from. We're not treating your son's runny nose in the ER room. See, I'm one of the few Americans who actually have been in an ER room. I realize in Congress, they don't need to go to an ER room when they have some kind of problem. Why, they go to the best care in the world at your expense again. They're given the silk glove treatment into a nice private room with every doctor kissing their royal behinds. But you see, I go into the emergency room when I have to, and there it is, the Tower of Babel. There it is, they're practically cooking a goat on the floor. And there it is, every time I go in there, it's the same thing. It's a little child with a runny nose or a sore throat, surrounded by a family of illegal aliens, with 18 doctors and nurses treating the child for a sore throat. That's how a country goes bankrupt, my friend. So I said to you last week, it doesn't seem to resonate with the people. But there are solutions to tightening the belt. If you're in times like this, what you say is, no free medical care for illegal aliens. No free health care for illegal aliens. No education for illegal aliens. No student loans for illegal aliens. And what about the housing crisis itself, lads? Why, for God's sakes, what percentage of those bum loans were given to illegal aliens? Has anyone given you that figure, ladies and gentlemen? Have the good folks at HUD told you how many loans were given to folks who were not even citizens? And why, of course, the banks were forced to give loans to illegal aliens by the good folks in the Democrat Party who said, unless you give loans to those of different colored skin, you're a racist, racist, racist. And, of course, they threw the race word around, mainly this wonderful esteemed gentleman from New York, whose Mercedes was towed last week, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, the man himself who wants to tax the rich, was caught not paying taxes, for God's sakes. How could that be? How could that possibly be? He threw around the racist word. That's how, that's how. 1-800-449-8255. Another article on michaelsavage.com that if you think it's limited to Wall Street, you're wrong. You're involved too. You're as corrupt as they are. There's an article that came out over the weekend that got my attention from the New York Times, and it's called Disability Epidemic Among Long Island Railroad Retirees. Your hair will stand up. Well, how can I say that? I keep saying your hair will stand up. Why, your hair won't stand up anymore. In fact, your hair couldn't stand up anymore from one more shock unless you smeared Viagra on your skin. The fact of the matter is, it says virtually every career employee, as many as 97% in one recent year, applies for and gets disability payments soon after retirement. Now, we're not talking about Wall Street tycoons here. We're talking about conductors. We're talking about train engineers. We're talking about secretaries. We're talking about union reps. We're talking about criminals on the Long Island Railroad. That's right. It says, during the work week, it is not uncommon to find retired LIRR employees, sometimes dozens of them, golfing. A few even walk the course. Yet this is not your typical retiree outing. And why is that? Because they're all on disability. And most of them are collecting a pension and tens of thousands of dollars in annual disability payments. And it says up to 97% of every career employee at the LIRR applies for and gets disability payments soon after retirement. Now, what is the point of this story with regard to the Pirates of Wall Street? The point is that the country is totally rotten from top to bottom. And they show individuals. It shows a retired couple from the Long Island Railroad collecting about $280,000 annually in combined disability and pension payments, according to estimates based on public records. They show wonderful gentlemen like Joseph Rutignano playing golf this summer. Like nearly all other longtime Long Island Railroad employees, he was classified as occupationally disabled, but only after retiring, you see. And he's only one of many. He's not being singled out by them or myself, my friends. He's only being pointed out because there are eight senior train engineers earning from $215,000 to $277,000 a year as a train engineer, simply driving a train. And then when they retire, they get sick. And they collect the money. Then they play golf. And so you see, my friends, it's not just the tycoons of Wall Street. We have an epidemic of corruption and greed in the United States of America. And the solutions, why, I'll leave it to you. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Will foreign financial institutions be eligible to have their assets bought?
Yes, and they should, because as you think about this, if a financial institution has business operations in the United States, hires people in the United States, if they are clogged with illiquid assets, they have the same impact on the American people as any other institution.
15 men on a dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest, yo-ho-ho and a bottle
of rum. Hold it. There's a setup interview with ABC, as you well know, a lackey of the Democrat-Republican machine. Mike warned you years ago, beware the government media complex. So they always go to their friends in the media for the softball question. So there's George Stephanopoulos asking Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, should foreign financial banks be eligible to have their assets also protected by the American taxpayer? And there's Mr. Peepers Paulson saying, why, yes. Why, yes, they should have the same rights as an American citizen. And, of course, now you understand why Comrade Bush has thought the same way about citizens from Mexico, El Salvador, and wherever else, that they are all citizens of the world. And, frankly, they are entitled to the same protections as you are. Huh. San Antonio, Peter, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I think that with all the bad news, though, that as things get worse, you sound more cynical. And
that's a big crime, being cynical. I realize that cynicism should be a crime in the new Bush America. I think Comrade Paulson and Comrade Bush should be informed that I'm too cynical and that you should seek some kind of justice. Because after all, robbing $1 trillion is nothing compared to being cynical on the radio. Is that right?
History where we've had major problems.
Excuse me, lad. I ask you a question. Is cynicism now illegal in the new America under Comrade Bush?
Of course it's not illegal. But why?
Oh, so what is it that offends you about my cynicism?
Because I don't think it helps solving a problem.
It doesn't. Well, how about these solutions? Would you like to hear my solutions? Here are Savage's solutions for the Wall Street crisis given out on this show last Wednesday. One, cut off all medical, educational, legal, and housing benefits to illegal aliens immediately. Does that work for you?
I'm in complete agreement with that.
Okay. Number two, deport all illegal immigrants in jail. That's 30% of the prison population, which I calculated to be of 1.2 million people in prison. 30% makes it 400,000 people. At about 40,000 a year, that's $16 billion a year saved immediately. Does that work for you?
I think that's a fantastic idea.
All right, so we agree on something. How about firing Chris Cox, the head of the SEC, who let this go on? Doesn't that make sense to you?
I'm sorry, but that makes perfect sense to me.
Okay. How about replacing him with Elliot Spitzer, who before he was taken down by the money changers of Wall Street, Elliot Spitzer was the only one going after the criminals on Wall Street. Why do you suppose they suddenly discovered he was using prostitutes? You think he's the only one in Washington, D.C., or in a seat of power who uses prostitutes? Why Elliot Spitzer, just as he was on the eve of about to investigate these gangsters? Don't you see the connection in when they brought him down and what he was about to do? Don't you understand that you cannot be a good interlocutor with Aristotle here unless you have read the dialogues? 1-800-449-8255. Here are a few other ideas. You say I'm too cynical or I don't have any solutions. Mike has had solutions for years. But since Mike doesn't exist, and because Mike is not as bright as the boys of Wall Street, not as bright as the boys of Fox News, not as bright as all of the good folks in the government media complex, who, of course, wrap themselves in the flag and are all great Americans, as you well know, because they all socialize together, Mike has told you there are solutions to these problems. For example, a year ago, Mike said that you could simply demand oil for war. Meaning, what does that mean? Why? We conducted a war. It cost us $1 trillion, which is about the cost of the bailout. No one has put two and two together but Mike. Wars are expensive. Wars bankrupted nations before. Why, wars bankrupted France in the past. Napoleon was a megalomaniac, out of control with his foreign adventures. And, of course, after he got his butt kicked in Russia, and he came back with 20,000 men of something like a million who died along the way. And, of course, France has never been the same since, as you well know. All you got to do is go over there and see the sad sacks that are left in France, with rare exception. Most of the good men died in the retreat from Russia. France was bankrupt because of Napoleon's adventures. And that's when the French started hoarding gold. Incidentally, this is tied to the concept of gold as a stable reserve in times like this. But my bigger point is that wars are expensive. Wars don't cost nothing, my friends. They cost us $1 trillion in Iraq. So Mike said 6 months ago, demand that these gangsters in Iraq pay us back for the cost of the war through oil. They're pumping oil. Demand that they pay us back with oil. What are they going to do, say no? Take it, you idiot. They owe it to me. I don't want higher taxes. I want those ungrateful Iraqis to pay us back, not only in terms of what we have spent, which is about $1 trillion, which is interesting. When you consider that the bailout's going to cost us $1 trillion, and when you consider that the war cost us about $1 trillion, you'll find out, lads, that those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. How many times Mike has said that over the last 10 years is uncountable. Why, as many stars as there are in the sky are the times Michael has told you that wars are expensive and that we eventually will have to pay for this, let us say, egomania of King Ludwig of Washington. The King Ludwig called Bush. He's the King Ludwig of our time. King Ludwig will eventually break us. I've been warning you and warning you and warning you that King Ludwig's megalomania, that is, of course, Comrade Bush, would eventually destroy the economy, if not the country itself. But no one heard old Mike. They called him every name under the sun. They brought false charges against him. First, they ran the illegal aliens against him. Oh, yes, the government did that one. Make no mistake about it. Then they ran another gang against him. Make no mistake about it. That came from the government itself. And make no mistake about it, my friends. You may think these groups that have come after me came out on their own, but I have evidence to the contrary, my friends. It's all part of the government media complex attempting to shut up old Mike, but I refuse to become their Billy Budd. I refuse to become their Billy Budd.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To the stock of Goldman Sachs of Wall Street, and to the gang for which it stands, one gang, indivisible, with liberty and profits for them.
The American people don't care who owns the financial institution. If the financial institution in this country has problems, it will have the same impact whether it's U.S. or foreign.
But they might wonder what they're getting from the firms in return.
Send him off to Davy Joe's of rum and gold and wenches bold. You had your last fill, Billy Bones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A little pirate music for you today on the Savage Nation. Sea Ditties. Sea Ditties from Skip Henderson out here in Alameda, California. Good morning to you, Charmin Billy. We're talking about the Wall Street Gang. Now, as I said to you in the last hour, we all know there are gangs running wild in the streets of America, and the police, the DEA, the others do the best they can to contain MS-13, Crips, and the Bloods. And they are dangerous, no question about it. And they have tattoos, and they wear odd hats, and they scare us. But, of course, the good WASPs of Wall Street are all white, and the suits are perfect. Haircuts even better yet. The limos look so shiny and clean. They cannot be doing harm, can they? And yet, some would say that the gang of Wall Street is worse than, why, some of these other gangs. Others would say that what Osama bin Laden tried to do to us way back in 2001, lads, by bringing down the World Trade Center towers and, of course, attacking the Pentagon itself, hoping to wreck our economy. And, of course, oh, good old Osama bin Laden could not achieve it. Why, his friends on Wall Street did exactly what Osama bin Laden was seeking to do, which is to try to destabilize the American economy itself. And look who did it. Why, it was the old white men on Wall Street and in Washington, D.C. Now, you might say, we have Congress. They're going to protect us. Why, the Democrats are for the little guy. And Obama's the savior. He's going to save us, of course. And yet Obama's been quite meek about this problem. That's, of course, because, why, for a long while now, he's been on the receiving end of little lobbying money, you see, from the very folks that he's supposed to be protecting us from. That's why you hear nothing from Barney Frank, the man who forced the government to give loans to everyone, particularly illegal aliens and those unqualified, because otherwise he'd scream, racism, 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 you see. And so we, the people, have no one to turn to. We have no one to turn to. We're supposed to have a watchdog in the press. Instead, you have lapdogs, by and large. You're supposed to have sheriffs on Wall Street called the SEC. Instead, we had a man who was a little too cozy with his buddies on Wall Street named Chris Cox, in my humble opinion, lads. And that's why I say there's no solution except the real solutions. Cut off all medical, educational, legal, and housing benefits to illegal aliens immediately. How much would that save us, lads? Why, $100 billion. When I say deport all illegal immigrants now in jail, that's about $16 billion saved right there. Then don't forget the oil in the ground of Iraq. Yes, they owe it to us. Don't even ask them. Just take it and start shipping it to us. Or sell it on the world market and pay the American taxpayer back for the $1 trillion this war has cost us. Not to say the broken hearts and broken bodies and broken minds strewn across the American landscape of the brave men who fought over in Iraq to free these ungrateful Iraqis who now refuse to pay us back for the $1 trillion we have invested to free them. Why, they're selling their oil on the world market, and to add insult to injury, they gave the first drilling contract to China, not to the United States of America. How did that happen? My friends, how do a lot of things happen? So if you say I'm just being too cynical, or it's easy to point fingers without solutions, I've given you solutions. A, cut off paying for the illegal aliens. Deport the illegal aliens in prison. That's $14 billion. Then collect oil from the Iraqis to pay us back so that we don't get a tax increase. That's probably, several hundred billion dollars, $1 trillion worth of oil could be gotten. They wouldn't even feel it. And so there are solutions, but I'm the only one giving them to you. Now, why am I the only one coming up with hard solutions to very difficult financial problems? Why are you not hearing this from those in the government media complex? Well, I'll let you figure that one out. Let us turn instead to an old book. Books, you see, are something that were printed on paper that had ink on them. And in the old days, people read books, not the internet. And one of the oldest books, of course, not the oldest book, but one of the oldest books is called the Bible. And in the King James Version, in Exodus 15, we read the following. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which he is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Of course, many of you cynically say, stop wasting our time with these old words. They have nothing to do with modern times. It's the mythology of the ancient olive growers. It's the mythology of the ancient Israelites. It has nothing to do with us, we modern people, why we believe in stocks and we believe in bonds, and we believe in the ups and we believe in the downs, why but we believe in money markets and we believe in savings. We don't believe in that old rubbish called the Old Testament, so stop wasting our time. Ah, play me some music, will you please? How about 15 Men on a Dead Man's Chest? 1-800-449-825.
15 Men on a Dead Man's Chest, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest. Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Bottle of rum.
Rum, rum, I'll take back the show right now. I needed a 10-second break here. On MichaelSavage.com, we have Savage's Solution for the Wall Street Crisis. We have article after article that you have to see what's going on. I mean, there are other websites that are better than mine, bigger than mine. And I thought about it. Why should I exist as a website altogether, since you have Drudge and you have so many other great sites like WND. I mean, there's great sites out there, and I use them all. And I realized that my website, MichaelSavage.com, is a sort of Rorschach of how I see the world. If I see an article, for example, about the bailout of the Long Island Railroad pensioners, that 97% of the bums who work for the railroad go out on full disability and collect it and then play golf and they don't go to jail, I put it up on my website because it completes the picture. So it's sort of my view of the world, meaning if I call from USA Today, World Trib, whatever, wherever I get it from, it's my view of the world. Do you understand that? Let me go to the callers at 1-800-449-8255. Tomas in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Well, is he gone? Tomas, are you on the show? Welcome to the show.
I'm a former Marine there, Mike. Let me just say real quick, you are a commandant of the Savage Corps, and your troops are ready. They've got their arms on. They've got, you know, they're in formation. They're ready for orders. You can do an Operation Dubai 2 and stop this thing and do more where you're at than Obama and McCain and Palin and Biden put together. So, sir, we're waiting.
Well, Tomas, I recognize that there are at least 30 million people in this country who know what's going on, who are fed up with both parties, fed up with Wall Street, fed up with the bailout, fed up with Paulson. They are on the verge, let us say, of snapping. But I, my friend, am a mere talk show host, Tomas. Do not confuse me with a revolutionary. I appreciate the compliments, my friend, but I will have to say no thanks. San Diego, Reggie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Next topic, please.
Hi, Marco. This is Reggie. Thank you very much for your program. You know, to lay bare all this junk that's going on with the government.
I understand. I wake up, I'm an American like you are. I've worked all my life for what I have, and I don't want to lose it all. Do you understand why I'm enraged? I look at these jerks who are supposed to protect me, and they're in on the same robbery.
Can you imagine that, Michael, that you don't even have a way to appealing these injustices?
No, that's correct. We have no way to even appeal what's going on. That's the heartbreak. That's right. The Treasury Secretary says, give me a $700 billion bailout check, and you don't even get to have any oversight. And Nancy Pelosi says, fine, because she's a wealthy woman. Did you see what came out today? Did you see what came out today, the 50 richest members of Congress? Does it shock you to find out that Senator John Kerry, D. Massachusetts, is the richest man in the Senate, worth $230 million at least? And number two is Jane Harman, Democrat, California, worth $225 million. Daryl Issa, number three, at $160 million. Rockefeller's number four. If you go down the list, you understand why it's a bipartisan, let us say, switcheroo here. None of them care to go after Wall Street because they are Wall Street. Reggie, I don't have any way of telling you how agitated I feel, how angry I feel, how ripped off I feel by Comrade Bush and Comrade Paulson and Comrade Cox. But all I can tell you is that we will play in honor of the comrades, the troika that has seized control of our government, and that we no longer have a Congress. We'll play the former Soviet Union's national anthem right now. All rise, please. Put on your red stars, and let's listen to the Internationale, the new national anthem of the United States of America, the former United States of America. It is now the country called Goldman Sachs of Wall Street. We'll take a break now.
Savage.
Conservatives are saying this smacks of socialism.
I would say this. This is big government intervention. I think this is an unprecedented time. We have a system, a regulatory system that was broken. There are excesses in the system. And I have never, as a philosophy, thought intervention was good. I would just tell you it's necessary right now.
This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. But it is perhaps the end of the beginning.
But of course, Mr. Paulson is lying through his teeth, in my humble opinion. It is socialism at its worst. It's a state-managed economy, exactly what Bush said he was against. I, Michael Savage, have been smelling a rat for a long time. In fact, I said to you a year ago, he's a fiscal socialist. Do you remember me saying that a year ago? I said, Bush is not a fiscal conservative. He's a fiscal socialist. He was spending like a drunken sailor. And I don't mean any insult to sailors. Why, just a month ago, he wrote a check for $48 billion to Africa for AIDS. I said, where's the money coming from? How could he be doing this? And no one heard me. Instead, I was reviled by the media, reviled by everyone in the government. They're afraid to come on the show. They won't come near me. Instead, they go on these safe venues where they know they're going to get only the questions that the sock puppets are told to ask them. You know, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Eugene, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Mr. Savage. Firstly, just let me say I really like your no-nonsense approach to your show, and I appreciate you just...
Well, how can we have nonsense in a time like this? I mean, we are in dire straits. The Titanic has hit an iceberg. We don't have time to listen to a captain who drove us into the iceberg to tell us what he's going to do for us. We got to get the man off the bridge before the ship goes down.
I agree, but Obama seems to find the time. So, anyways, I appreciate your straightforwardness. My question is, I really appreciate how you state things. So, I would have listened to your advice over anyone else. What we have in front of us that's positive? What can we build on? How can we look at?
Okay, of course, that's always the question. It's easy to complain and point fingers. What's the solution? So, for the 50th time, I'll start with my solutions. Let's start by tightening our financial belt. Let's get money that is owed us. Let's start with the big picture. Does Iraq owe us money or not for liberating them from Saddam? Wouldn't any rational person say yes?
Of course.
All right. What does Iraq have that we need? Answer, oil. Oil for war. I want to be paid back for the war. It's cost us $1 trillion, about the cost of the bailout. The cost of the war is what's bankrupted us, if anything else. Somebody had to pay for the war. We're paying for it. Let Iraq pay us back, number one. There's $1 trillion in oil that can be paid to us. Number two, cut off all money to illegal aliens. You close down the emergency rooms, put a cop there, say you don't have a citizenship card. I'm sorry, we can't treat you. Go back to your home country, which is able to take care of you. Just get out of our country. We can't afford it anymore. It's harsh medicine for harsh times. I'm talking about balancing the budget. I could do it. Put me in charge. I could do it in 30 days. Don't listen to these gangsters. They're the ones who bankrupted us. They're going to bankrupt us. We will never recover from it, for God's sakes, Eugene. So I've given solutions. It's not as though I have no solutions. I give solutions, for God's sakes. What more can I do? I've been trying for years to awaken the American people to solutions. In my book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, I had solutions, if you remember correctly. I talked about oil from Mexico. The social cost of Mexican illegal aliens is enormous, enormous. Now, what does Mexico have that we need? Oil. We don't even have to bring it in by tanker through the Straits of Hormuz. We can pump it right out of Mexico, right across the border. You ask, it's so logical. You give them a bill. You present a bill to, if I were Harry Truman, where the buck stops here, a plain talking guy from the Midwest, I'd say, we're in dire straits. your bill is overdue. Iraq, your bill is overdue. Mexico, your bill is overdue. You're going to pay us in oil, and if you don't pay us, we're going to take it. That's what the military is for. The military is supposed to act in the national interest. Right now, we have a military that's not acting in our national interest. It's been acting in the national interest of other nations. They become Hessians in many cases. And I am sick and tired of seeing this. I'd say to Mexico, here's the bill. The bill is $500 million for illegal, $500 billion for the cost of sustaining illegal aliens in our hospitals, schools, and you name it. We want that oil and we want it now. You start pumping it, and you start pumping it now, Jackson, or we're going to send in the U.S. Marines and we'll start pumping it across the border. Same with Iraq. You want to balance the books? Use common sense. Say that these guys on Wall Street are doing the best they can, and it's a tough time. I don't believe a word of it. Not when I see that top executives at Lehman Brothers New York office, who are in charge of history's largest corporate bankruptcy, are going to get the lion's share of a $2.5 billion bonus pot. It's unbelievable. How can this possibly going on? That eight men are going to be guaranteed $10 million to $25 million in salaries over 2 years. How could guys who took a stock that was worth $68 a share last year to as low as 21 cents, how could they be given a platinum payout? How could the government permit this? And the same day that one of their friends, none other than the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, our Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson, is demanding a blank check for $700 billion. And as a result, oil went up $25 a barrel today over anxiety about the bailout plan, touched off frenzied buying of safe haven investments. Don't you understand I'm not the only one in the country seeing what's going on, or the only one in the world who sees what's going on? I'm the only one on the radio who's loud about it. I mean, in the top five, let's put it to you that way. And I'm not here to start talking about that again. I'm here to talk about what we the people can do. Well, if we raise enough of a ruckus, maybe the Democrats and the Republicans will understand that after it's all over, we'll throw them all out of office. I predict, by the way, that they should all be thrown out of office. All 400 of these gangsters should be thrown out, every one of them. I would put a dog catcher in as a U.S. senator over anybody in the Senate. I would predict that after this, I don't care who the senator is or who the congressperson is, anybody running against them could win. We have found out that we have nobody to turn to at a time like this. What in the world should they, why should they keep their job? Anybody could be a congressman and do a better job. A humble gardener could do a better job than a congressman. I don't care what their background is. If the man is an honest man, or if the woman is an honest woman, they would do a better job than any of these gangsters right now, as far as I'm concerned. Tell them you'll throw them out of office. You do have power. It's the one thing they fear, and the fear is that they won't be able to continue on Easy Street. Tell them you'll throw them out of office unless there's oversight of the $700 billion bailout, meaning don't give it to the Treasury Secretary. Do not, under any circumstance, give him the money. Do not give him the money. What do you mean, give him the money? What do you mean it's a fait accompli because Bush says so, the genius? Bush, the genius, says we have to do it immediately. He's herding these people. H-E-R-D-I-N-G, herding them like sheep. Oh, write him the check or else it'll all collapse. How do you know it'll all collapse? Maybe it won't all collapse. Maybe these bums will suddenly be out of work. Maybe the bums who want the $700 billion to continue their Ponzi scheme will be out of work. But it doesn't mean we'll collapse as a nation. On the contrary, giving them a blank check might cause the collapse. Did you ever think about that? How about a little due diligence before you let the same guys who bankrupted us to suddenly demand money like $1 trillion? Like it's just give me $1 trillion now or else it'll all go bad. No, maybe it won't go bad. Maybe if we had a legitimate SEC chairman, this never would have happened to begin with. 1-800-449-8255 is my phone number. MichaelSavage.com is my website. I have on my website from Wikipedia, The Panic of 1873. Because in many ways, it seems to me what we're seeing now is closer to 1873 than 1929. It's very interesting to me that I had to go back, because I have a modicum of knowledge of history, a little bit, you know. I mean, I realize my PhD is not in economics. It's in a hybrid fields of science. First-rate PhD from one of America's great universities. I would say that I know what I'm talking about. I would indicate to you that I know as much as any of these people about what's going on here. It's not mumbo-jumbo here. After all, it's not, we're not reading hieroglyphics. You don't need specialized knowledge in hieroglyphics to know what Bush is trying to do here or what Paulson's trying to do. I mean, we could see with a naked eye any reasonably intelligent person. This is nonsense. Why should the Wall Street pirates get pots of gold in a bailout? Why should we let Hank Paulson bail out foreign banks? This is insanity. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, says the World Tribune, the American taxpayer. Read the L.A. Times article on my website, Europeans Ridicule U.S. Money Meltdown. Read what they have to say. You know, not all of them hate this country. Some of them see what's going on. You've got crooks. You've had crooks on Wall Street before. You'll have crooks on Wall Street in the future. And isn't it logical that there are some who are dishonest on Wall Street involved in the bailout? Just for a minute, give me the credit. For 1 minute, say to me, yes, there might be some crooks involved in this. Just for a minute, acknowledge that I might just be right, you stupid liberal bums, you. You don't even understand that when I'm right, I'm 100% right, and that maybe you're wrong. There's a great article on my website by Saul Sanders, who writes for the World Tribune. And he says, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, the American taxpayer. Now, if you read that article, you find out what derivatives actually are. And you say, well, what do I need to know about derivatives? Because that's what brought down the financial system. Unless you understand what they are, you'll have no idea what these con men are trying to do again. The very same men who invented this worthless paper called derivatives are now demanding that we bail them out after the whole Ponzi scheme went under. Do you hear what I just said to you? They invented a fiduciary instrument that had no value whatsoever called a derivative. They gave it a name, derivative. That's a pseudo-financial name, derivative. What it was is worthless paper. What they did was bundled up a bunch of mortgages who had no value. And then they took out leveraged insurance against their eventual whatever, turned it into worthless paper, and started trading it with each other. Now, why would they trade worthless paper? Why would these gangsters on Wall Street start trading worthless paper called derivatives? Because as you know, a stockbroker or a broker in general makes money on a trade. He makes it on nothing else. If you call in an order, buy or sell, he makes money either way, buying or selling. That's what his commission is based on, buying or selling. So they invent worthless paper called derivatives, and then they start trading it amongst themselves in order to make commissions. Do you understand? You got it in your thick noggin what went on here? You finally understand what's going on here? So the very same gangsters who made up this paper called derivatives and made fortune on fortune on fortune trading, I don't know, hundreds of millions of shares of this garbage, now are saying to us, oh, it all fell apart. Send us a trillion-dollar check or else you are going to go bankrupt. I would say send them the federal marshals with handcuffs and put them all in jail. Arrest them all and put them in jail and put forensic accountants in charge. And I guarantee you that you could save this country's financial system faster than by giving these gangsters $1 trillion. Now, ask yourself, not what Winston Churchill would do. Ask yourself what a humble, intelligent man like Harry Truman would have done. Many of you know who he was. He was the president who dropped the atomic bombs on Japan in order to end World War II. You think he wanted to kill innocent Japanese? He didn't want to kill him, but he wanted to save a million American men from dying in hand-to-hand combat to take the main island of Japan. He knew what was at stake, and he did what had to be done. He was the man who said the buck stops here. The little haberdasher from Missouri, Harry Truman. A common businessman, an average businessman running a department store in America, could straighten this mess out faster than the bums who invented derivatives, faster than these megachip maniacs who derived fiduciary instruments out of thin air, and now that it's collapsed underneath their feet, are saying, give us a check for $1 trillion. I say no. Give us a leader who says the buck stops here, who puts men and women in their place, who can straighten the mess out immediately, and not the same people who caused the mess to begin with. That's my opinion. The phone number here again, I'm sick of reading it, and there's no lines open anyway. You understand that? Let's go to New York City. Morris, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please, on WOR.
The problem with the financial crash, the bankers didn't do it. They may have done it. They didn't do it to line their pockets. Like, take AIG. He was worth a billion and a quarter. He's now worth about a quarter $25 million. He lost almost $1 billion. The same thing with Lehman. All the CEOs, there was a full-page article in the New York Times showing each one what he was worth in 07 and what he's worth now. One of them was worth a few hundred million. Now he's worth $2 million, $10 million, or whatever.
Right.
So why are you blaming them? I mean, they may have...
Well, okay. So you're going to blame who? Who would you blame?
Oh, who would I blame?
Yes.
Oh, there was something wrongfully done. They took the mortgages. They weren't all worthless. If one out of ten in that package was worthless, that whole package became obsolete. But they didn't do it on purpose. They lowered the standards of giving mortgages, which they should.
Well, I understand that. I was the first in the media about 6 months ago to talk about the fact that the Democrats insisted that mortgages go to people who were not qualified, or else they'd be called racist. Believe me, I understand very well when they started with the greenlining what they were talking about. But let's go back to what I mentioned before, the pseudo-financial instrument called derivatives. You understand what they are, Morris, correct?
Derivatives was a few years ago. It didn't happen now.
Oh, it didn't happen now, but it has nothing to do with the collapse on Wall Street?
Procter & Gamble, about 3, 4, 5 years ago.
There was well, let me present it to you a different way. How about the bailout of $2.5 billion in a bonus pot for Lehman? Do you think that that's not an example of what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but where did you see that they're doing that? I don't think they're going to get any money anywhere.
What do you mean, where did I see what they're doing that? You're living in a dream world. Would you please look at the New York Post article called Execs Crash and Earn, Lehman Elite to Get Big Cut of $25 Billion Pay Pot, and it talks about the fact that eight of them have been guaranteed the lion's share of a $2.5 billion bonus pot. The Elite Eight in Lehman have been guaranteed $10 million to $25 million salaries for 2 years. Do you think that that makes sense?
You know, I agree. If that happens, it doesn't make sense. But I'm not so sure it's going to happen. You know, papers like to exaggerate the story, you know, make it...
Yes, they like to exaggerate the story. Why wouldn't it happen? Why wouldn't it happen when Paulson is saying, give me a blank check for $700 billion? If I've read... I saw the paper. It says no oversight whatsoever. The government has no oversight over that, except for every 3 months they give him a rubber stamp. Does that make sense to you, Morris?
No, they should have oversight, but don't blame Paulson. He's sticking out his neck. He's trying to save the country. If they don't come up with this...
Do you really believe he's trying to save the country after he took the country's treasury and crashed it into an iceberg?
But how did he didn't do
well,
it.
Morris, if you're in charge of the U.S. Treasury and a banking crisis originates under your watch, who should the blame fall upon?
But let's face it, he didn't really do it. You know, there's just so
he
much
didn't really do it. That's like saying the captain of the Titanic didn't really run it into the iceberg. He certainly didn't run it into the iceberg on purpose. But nevertheless, the captain of the Titanic ran it into the iceberg. I mean, who would you say is responsible for this? Who has responsibility, Morris?
Local, the state or the city government was the state. The banking the regulators, they should have seen what's happening. They didn't do their job.
Well, let's go to Chris Cox, the head of the SEC. Wasn't his job to act as a sheriff of Wall Street? Why was he so lax?
Yes, sir, but where did he go wrong in the actual mortgages?
No. Where did he go wrong? He should have stopped this Wild West trading on Wall Street when it was going on. That's what he was sent there to do. The head of the SEC is supposed to be a watchdog, not a lapdog, Morris. You don't want to present blame to anybody for some reason. I don't think you're a bad guy, and I'm not trying to argue with you. But why do you see no blame anywhere?
If something wrong happened in your station, everybody would blame you. But it wasn't you. It was one of your assistants.
You're wrong. If a business goes bankrupt, don't you blame the CEO?
You have to know why. Did it go bankrupt because they spent money unwisely? They lined their pockets?
Yes, they spent money unwisely. Bush has been spending like a maniac. We've been screaming about his fiscal irresponsibilities for years. I have for years. What is he writing checks for $48 billion to Africa for AIDS a month ago? Where did he get the money from? What is he bailing everybody out around the world for? What is he bailing out foreign banks for? How can you say there's no responsibility, Morris?
Matt, let's take Iran and Iraq. You think it's so simple to pull us out? You think it's so simple to get the oil from them like you suggested? It's a very good
idea. Yes, it's simple. Wait a minute. If Iraq is pumping oil right now and selling it on the world market, who is buying that oil and how are they getting it from Iraq?
I'm sure the other countries are buying it, and America cannot get it because if they say we want it, they'll say, okay, you lost 4,000 men. You spent $2 trillion. Goodbye. That's diplomacy.
What do you mean goodbye? We have a U.S. military. They have nothing in military. What is the U.S. military for but to protect our national interests? Of course we could take the oil that they owe us. You're acting naive here. You're acting as though we're a paper tiger without any strength. What do you mean they don't owe us money? Iraq does owe us money. It cost us about $1 trillion by my rough estimate to liberate these ingrates from Saddam Hussein's grip. Let him pay us back in oil, for God's sakes. Why is that so hard to digest?
Yeah. Why don't they do that? Why? Tell me.
Why don't they do that? Now, you mean, why don't they do it? A, because George Bush did not demand it. Why did George Bush not demand it is the question. Because the Seven Sister Oil Companies do not want to suppress the price of oil by suddenly giving us the amount of oil that we are owed by Iraq. It would suppress the price of oil. It would not be good for their business. Don't you see that?
I mean, to some extent, you're right.
Morris, come on. You know that I'm not 100% wrong here.
No, but how
now,
about...
You may be different than me politically, and I respect that. But it doesn't mean that what I am saying is wrong. Just because we disagree on social policy does not mean that Michael Savage does not know what he is talking about today with regard to fiscal responsibility.
America's hands are tied. Look at North Korea. Whatever they want, they give them.
Whose hands are tied?
America, the United States.
What do you mean our hands are tied? That's because we have a lame-brained moron in the White House. Our hands are not tied. If we had a legitimate CEO running America, we wouldn't be in this position to begin with. You know, the buck stops here. That's what Harry Truman said.
You got to
look at George Bush for every problem we're having right now. I'm sorry. And I am an independent conservative. I'm no Democrat. I wouldn't vote for Obama, not because he's too black, but because he's too green. I'll be right back. Whatever. I'm a little upset right now because I cannot believe that we're being asked as taxpayers to write a blank check by the same people who crashed our economy into the Titanic, into the iceberg, excuse me. Of course the captain of the Titanic in that case did not want to crash the Titanic. And you could say, all right, Paulson didn't want to do it. Who would want to wreck the economy? But you can't tell me they haven't earned from this. You can't tell me that they're not really protecting their friends on Wall Street. That would be ludicrous. You know, as near as a week ago, we saw that of the original five major investment banks on Wall Street, three were gone. We also know that the Bear Stearns debacle was not by accident. Others ran Bear Stearns out of business. They ran them out through rumor and innuendo and crashed their stock and picked them up like vultures. In fact, one of the surviving investment banks, Morgan Stanley, picked up the remnants of the destroyed Bear Stearns. So now you say, well, you got two left. Last week, a very wise economist was saying these two are going to be out of business as well unless something drastic is done. Then we wake up and we see that the former CEO of Goldman, Mr. Paulson, our Treasury Secretary, is demanding a $700 billion bailout. And that we also find out that these two surviving investment banks are now switching overnight to becoming commercial banks so they can dip into the Federal Reserve funds. How in the world could this be happening without any congressional hearings is what I want to know. The answer is because Congress is filled with a bunch of useless fools. We've used the phrase on the show from the early days of Marxism of useful idiots. Well, you could call them useful idiots. I would call them useless fools. In essence, we have had a Congress that has run out of town and abrogated their responsibility. We have a Congress that is functionless. We have now a troika of men running the country. That means we are all communists now. Coming up on the Savage Nation in the next hour to fill in for me is Rick Roberts, great guy. And Rick is going to give away too many copies of Psychological Nudity. He's going to drive me into the poorhouse, whatever's left of my economy will be gone after Rick is through giving away free books. But okay, if that's the price of keeping you listening through the next hour, that's the price that I'll have to pay. Rick Roberts, great guy, will be with us to take all your calls and more right here on the Savage Nation. And as I go out the door, play a little bit more of the new pirate music that I've taken a shining to.
Man's chest, yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Drink and the devil had done for the rest. Yo ho ho, and a bottle of rum. Bottle of rum.
Turn off the music for a minute. On another show, on another day, I'll tell you how I stumbled upon Skip Henderson's music and why I'm playing pirate music. And stay here for Rick Roberts.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Taxpayers in this position is painful to me, but I don't think it is fair to compare that with spending for health care or Social Security, because this is not traditional spending. This is money to purchase illiquid assets.
First of all, this is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be sitting in from time to time. I've got a lot to get to, and I want to get all of your calls in if I possibly can. Also, as Michael told you, I've got copies of Psychological Nudity to be giving away. That's Michael's, of course, new book, collection of 75 stories that some of them you've heard, some of them you missed, some of them you've requested. It's a great read. You got to get a copy, Psychological Nudity. I'm gonna give you some books in this hour. Also, if you haven't made your daily pilgrimage to michaelsavage.com, you need to do that. I just left there just a little while ago. You need to get to michaelsavage.com and take a look. All of the stuff we're talking about, this very historic time in which we're living, and I don't mean in a good way, I mean in a bad way. The road to socialism is paved with CEOs. Yes, all with golden parachutes. I guess, well, it's sort of like a golden brick road, but it's a golden parachute-type brick road. I became so angry about this earlier today. I just had to push myself back and say, okay, I've got to make sense of this. You know, here the government is telling me, they're telling me this is for my own good. Now, these bailouts are for my own good. Yes, we need to help Wall Street now so Main Street isn't hurt later. Well, what does that mean? Seriously, what does that mean? So Main Street, you're going to Main Street right now to bail out Wall Street. This proposal before Congress, $700 billion mega bailout. First of all, everybody that can add two and two and more often than not come up with four realizes it's far too little to repair the damaged debt. And as Michael was talking about, the derivatives. Again, go to michaelsavage.com and take the time and read this stuff and retain it. Derivatives, that's a very important part of the equation. At the same time, far too much for investors and taxpayers who must put up the money. That's you and that's me. But how big is the problem? I don't know. Can you say trillion? Can you say that? 700 billion will barely scratch the surface. But it's like the doctor. Well, I tell you what, let me give you a little shot right now, and I won't tell you that you need chemotherapy next week. You know, a little at a time, let you get used to it. You know, last week, the president, the Treasury Secretary, and the Federal Reserve Chairman all announced their view that Congress must get to the root of the debt crisis. Get to the root of the debt crisis in America. Provide a broad, sweeping solution that truly puts the crisis to an end. What did Congress answer with? Well, gosh, we're kind of tired. We're going to take off. We'll be back after the first of the year. And I don't think people understand the magnitude of this crisis afflicting mortgages. You know, I heard today? I've listened to so many people. We need this to keep people in their homes. Excuse me. Wasn't it 2 or 3 weeks ago they announced a $300 million bailout? to keep people in their homes, but that wasn't enough. So it's $700 billion now. That's not going to be enough. You know that. The magnitude of the crisis affecting mortgages, other debts on top of that, and the derivatives Michael was talking about clearly overwhelms that $700 billion bailout proposal. No way it can happen. No way it can happen. So, you know, at the end of the day, I am not for this bailout. Actually, what you ought to call it is a rescue. It's a $700 billion rescue. But I tell you what, your boat's got a hole in it. You know, we're going to pay for the boat, but it's got a hole in it. You know that, and I know that. All right, 1-800-449-8255. Again, Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. This ought to just send you over the top. Literally, send you over the top. All right, let's go to John. John, Eugene, Oregon. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, John?
Rick.
Sir.
The people have been robbing banks for years. Now it's the bank's turn to rob the people.
What?
People have been robbing banks for years. Now it's the bank's turn to rob the people.
Okay, I don't want to cut you off, but help me understand what you're saying. People have been robbing banks for years, and now it's the banks. What does that mean, John?
Bank robbers have been robbing banks for years. Now the banks get to rob the people.
Okay. All right, John. I appreciate that very, very much. You have a good day. Leanne, San Antonio, Texas. Did I miss something there? I think I may have. Leanne, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me, and thanks for being there. I tell you, I'm just an average American mom in an average American town. I can't take it anymore. I want to know, can we sue these people? Can we sue Congress? What can we do to make these people accountable?
Well, you know, the thing I am telling people to do, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the American public had to stand up. You had to take time away from your kids, time away from your job, time away from your home, whatever it was, and stand up and tell a sitting president that was working directly against the will of the people. You remember all that, Leanne. I'm sure you do. Well, these folks are just here doing jobs Americans won't do. Shoot, man, they're just trying to put food on the family. And when he was trying to push through the blanket amnesty bill, the only reason that thing did not come to fruition is because of people just like you, Leanne, taking time out of your busy day to stand up and say to the president of the United States, which should have been working for you instead of against you, no, sir. Thank you, but no. I do not want to legitimize upwards of 30 million illegals in this country. Thank you, but no, thank you. Do you understand? Now, that worked. And why did that work, Leanne? It worked because the people rose up in mass. They contacted their local congressmen. They contacted their assembly members. They contacted everybody that was trying to sniff out a vote. And if they believe their jobs are in jeopardy, you know, they didn't get there by accident. Every single one of them, save for a handful that were appointed, every single one of them got their jobs by an election. And if the people turn on you, that's the last thing a politician wants. We've got to stand up. You've got to do snail mail, email, phone calls. And I know it's cliche, and I know it's not sexy, and I know it's not something that everybody, hey, I can make a ribbon and do a button. But it's the only way to save the country. It absolutely is the only way.
Hey, well, I'm doing it.
You've got to. You got to say, listen, I'm not for a bailout. You want to bail something out, come over at my house. Bail me out of this high-interest credit card debt that I've had to float because I'm taxed to death and working two jobs to give my family some quality of life. Please don't tell me, not for a minute, please don't tell me, well, we need to save Wall Street, otherwise Main Street will feel the impact. Guess what, folks? Main Street already feels the impact. Leanne, you're on the right track, but don't give them any quarter. They're pros at this game. And all of these CEOs, vice presidents, presidents, bank officers that flew out of this deal with their golden parachute and are walking off in the sunset with $20 million in cash in each suitcase need to be hauled back. That cash needs to be dumped out on the conference table. A full accounting needs to be made that is transparent, in other words, in public view. And guess what? That needs to go towards the so-called bailout. Why should they come to you, Leanne, or come to me when these bank execs and the CEOs and all the rest are walking away with all these millions of dollars? Seems to me that ought to go in the pot. I don't know. Call me crazy. Seems like it ought to go in the pot. New York, Steve. Steve, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Rick. I was just wondering, where is all this money coming from? The war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, and all this bailout. Is it like a bottomless coffee mug? What the hell, man?
Well, Savage said it best earlier today. There is a Santa Claus. He knows when you are sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. Write me a check, for goodness sake. It's you. And what you don't have, they print. And what happens when you print money? Woo, it's inflation. That's exactly what's going on, Steve.
Am I made of money? I mean, what the, you know, there's got to be an end to it somewhere.
You know what, you know how they're running the government right now? Like one giant pyramid scheme. You know, nothing against Amway, but that type of, we're a giant Amway factory. That's what we are. Well, if we can get Steve and two of his friends, and they get two of their friends, and they get two of their friends, and every April 15th, they get two of their friends, and they all write a check, we'll just keep doing this stuff until the well dries up, and then we'll move on and dig a new well. Problem is, Steve, you and I have to have some quality of life to leave to our kids and their kids in the meantime. How do you do that? You say to Washington, we're done. We're through. A silent revolution won't work. It has to be very, very vocal. You know, I heard that, whatever they can't get from the American people, they'll just start printing. You know, because Lord knows we can't borrow anymore because our credit rating's in the toilet, which means taxpaying Americans are paying a higher interest rate than they should be paying, Steve. We're getting it both ways, my friend. Do you see that?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Steve, I appreciate the call very, very much. Chicago, Illinois, Dave. Dave, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, Rick. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
The one thing that I don't understand that is driving me nuts, because I used to be a fraud examiner in financial institutions, is how come no one that I've heard of yet has brought out the question, where were these companies' CPA firms? How come their public accounting firms did not foresee these problems on the horizon and were writing negative opinions and alerting the shareholders and the public to the potential danger that was lurking out there? I haven't heard anybody question that.
Dave, I'll tell you, what a great point. What a great point Dave makes. And, of course, it's a point that that Michael has touched on many, many times as far as where are the overseers? What are the overseers not seeing? Or what do they choose not to see? What are the regulators not regulating? Or what do they choose not to regulate? This is a huge, huge, huge machine. A huge machine. I oversaw the oil reserves for a foreign company at some point in my life, intrinsically involved in the oil and gas business, and we would have to go twice a year to the top of Price Waterhouse in Dallas, Texas, to lay it all out on the line, to lay it all out. You would not believe the boot, scoot, and boogie that went on in the months preceding that particular meeting. It was insane, absolutely insane. I'm telling you right now, if the regulators had regulated, if the overseers would have overseen, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. But greed has a funny way of spreading, like a cancer, through the body of a company, through the body of a person, through the body of a nation, left unchecked. Greed and sloth. Greed and I like that word in this particular application. Sloth. Sloth. Look it up. Sloth. Greed and sloth is why we're in this mess right now. And the only way we're going to get out of this mess is if we instill some real, real legislation which says, if you do this, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to be held responsible. And at the same time, do not think for one minute any of these CEOs or presidents or vice presidents or bank officers should walk away. They should not walk away. They should be yanked back. We should hunt them down if need be, in full view of the television cameras, have them loaded in the back of police cars, and then all sent to Washington for a public scrutiny. For this should be the special on all the alphabet channels, on all the cable networks, all of them sitting there in prison jumpsuits, that bright orange, sitting right there. Okay, how much do you have? Well, I have, okay, well, it doesn't matter. We've already done an asset exam. You have $36 million. Now, you're going to give 95% of that back to the people that it should have gone to in the first place. I'm not making this up. They're coming to you for it. They're coming to you for $700 billion, and I'm telling you right now, that's not going to be near enough. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Help those homeowners that want to stay in their home and have the financial capability to stay in their home. And the vast majority of foreclosures in this country, it, as regrettable as they are and as painful as they are coming from people who either don't want to stay in their home and live up to their obligations, or those that never had the financial capability to stay in their home, took out loans they couldn't afford as a result of irresponsible lending.
Yeah, well, yeah, tell me something I don't know, but I appreciate you owning up to that fact. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to sit in for you from time to time. Also, Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity. I'm going to be giving some books away here in just a second or two. Also, your calls, 1-800-449-8255, 1-800-449-TALK. It's not a bailout. It's a rescue. And it's not a government rescue. It's a taxpayer rescue. And I wish they would use that terminology. I think it would have more of an impact, a truth impact, on the people. I mean, what's next? What's next? Who's next on Wall Street's hit list? Lehman bankrupt, Fannie and Freddie insolvent, AIG bailed out, Merrill Lynch forced to sell out. $700 billion? Give me a break. That's a tip of the iceberg. You know, the FDIC list has only 107 institutions with $78 billion in assets, right? But given the current proposal for this $700 billion bailout, it's clear that these people tactically recognize that the FDIC understates the problem. Now, why do you say that, Rick? Well, first of all, let's see. 1,479 FDIC member banks at risk, total assets, $2.4 trillion. You throw into that mix, oh, I don't know, you want another egg in there? I don't know. It'd look, yeah, give me another egg. How about 158 savings and loans with $756 billion? Add it up, all right? For those of you that suffered under a public education, let me help. Banks and SNLs at risk, $3.2 trillion, 36 times the assets on the FDIC's watch list. Now, what does that mean to us? It means we're screwed unless we stop this thing right now. When I say stop this thing, we've got to stop business as usual. The wink, wink, nod, nod, good old boy, pat on the back. Well, how you doing? Well, you know, we had a pretty good year. We had a pretty, well, if they have a good year, the people in Washington have a good year. All right. This stuff makes me crazy. Derivatives. I want you to go to michaelsavage.com, please, at some point. Take a little time, sit down, cup of coffee, a sparkling beverage, and just sit there. Sit there and let that information wash over you because it impacts you and your family. All right. Covington, Louisiana. Tom, how would you like a copy of Psychological Nudity, Michael Savage's new book? Would you like that?
Yeah, I'd like one. I've got two of his books that are good.
Well, this one is worth the wait. What is your favorite story? What's your favorite story?
Well, I think the one that's called Dead Man's Pants, if I'm right.
You are right, Tom, and you stay right where you are. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of Michael's new book, Psychological Nudity, more books to give away. I'm Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Conservatives are saying this smacks of socialism.
I would say this. This is big government intervention. I think this is an unprecedented time. We have a system, a regulatory system that was broken. There are excesses in the system. And I have never, as a philosophy, thought intervention was good. I would just tell you it's necessary right now.
That's political speak for yes. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you so much. Of course it's socialism. Of course it's so. What else would it be? You know, I love that answer. I mean, he gets the medal for the political two-step. Many conservatives believe. Well, many Democrats believe that, too. I can't even pronounce his last name. Snuffleupagus. I mean, come on. Everybody knows what this is. We're dancing around the issue. $700 billion's not even going to scratch the surface. What was it? Just a couple of months ago, they were talking about the mortgage bailout. How much was that? $300 billion? Who knows? You know, it just keeps going up and up and up and up. You keep going back to the well, the American people. Bob in Kansas City. Bob, thanks for waiting here on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, fine, Rick. Rick, listen, what I wanted to tell Michael was, what's going on today with all the money and everything, And the reason people's not concerned is because they got plenty of food and water. They're fat, they're healthy, and whatnot. And until we get that kind of a crisis, they're not going to worry about whether it's $20 trillion or $200 trillion or whatever.
Well, generally speaking, Bob, I think you're right. It's a pretty broad brush, but I think you're right. Generally speaking, the American people have been given so much for so long with so little, if anything, required of them, that unless it happens on their own front porch or in their own backyard, I don't know, you fill in the blank, they're really not concerned with it. You know, it's one of those things, and I've seen it more and more in the last decade. You know, something huge economically or socially or what have you happens, and it's all the rage for a week. You know, if it bleeds, it leads lamestream media. It's the topic du jour, right? And then our memories fade very, very quickly. We generally, most of us have the attention span of a common housefly, and we go back to the business of our kids' football games and, you know, the boss at work's a jerk, and I got to get that report done, and, you know, my God, how am I going to make – here's the deal. You're right. If people are hungry, if they're thirsty, or if they look at their paycheck and go, what happened, that's generally how you're going to get their attention. But see, when it happens that way, it's too late because the government has never, never repaid money that they have taken from the American people. Even if they say this, I promise you, I take it to the bank. This is temporary. It's only going to be for just a little bit. And then after that, after we get over this rough spot, we'll get rid of that. It's never happened. Once it's done, it's done. Putting the toothpaste back in the tube. That's it. That's it. Waterford, Connecticut, Scott. Scott, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, yeah. I think, you know, what the last caller raised a good point, that people just aren't really paying attention. I'm 46 years old, and I've been kind of, you know, paying attention to what goes on. And it's almost arrogant at this point to think that the government can solve any problem. Because they've just, anything they get involved in involves more bureaucracy and more just resistance. Any interaction I've had with the federal government has always been negative, and it's just the government is the problem at this point.
Well, the government is the problem in the sense that this is not about bailing anyone out. This is about a pure and simple rescue, a rescue of the good old boy network, which permeates the top echelon of all the major companies. And, you know, have you heard one politician say, we need to bring all of these CEOs back, we need to bring all of these directors, vice presidents, presidents back, we need to bring all these board members back, set them down and say, okay, we're going to do a full asset evaluation on each one of you that have walked away with a golden parachute or floated away, and you're going to have to put it on the table. No, not one, because that's not the way we do business, see? That's not the way you do it. No, you just go to the American people and say, well, you know what? You need to be patriotic. Okay. Did you hear Biden? The wealthy people, and by the way, all of you making $200,000 above, you're wealthy. May not feel like it, but according to the government, you're wealthy. And Biden wants you to give just a little bit more, and that way you'll be more patriotic. Get involved. Get with the flow. This is insane. This is Animal Farm. Somebody said that the other day. That's exactly what this is. The government doesn't need to grow larger. The government needs to grow smaller. And these giant corporations, the lobbying efforts, they worked. They worked, didn't they? Yeah, they worked. Spring, Texas. Robert, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, Rick. Listen, man, like you said a few minutes ago, it's all about greed.
It is.
The people that we send to Congress and to the Senate, if you check and look at what their vested interest is in, hell, most of them probably got interest in some of these big banks and some of these big security companies and stuff, you know?
Well,
I mean, how do you think a congressman, a senator, go to the Congress or the Senate, and he might be worth $200,000 when he get there? 4 or 6 years later, he's a multimillionaire.
Well, you're right. You know, Michael has said it time and time and time and time again. You know, everybody wants to stay away from the legal immigration. The illegal immigration, it's a presidential election cycle. No politician wants to touch that for fear of offending a potential voting bloc. The government has lost contact with reality. I'll say it again. The government has lost contact with reality. The government wants to serve the world on the backs of the American people. It's got to stop. It's got to stop. We have no business bailing anyone out. Sending money to other countries in the financial state this country's in is financial suicide. The American people can't keep paying for what the government wants. You know, I've got two kids. My son may want a brand new $60,000 truck. Guess what? He's not getting it. Unless he can come up with the money on his own, and I'm pretty sure he can't. Some people can't afford to buy a house. Very few of them, in that case, can even afford a place to rent. That didn't leave much room for a life. The government stole from Social Security, so now it's almost bankrupt. I'm sure people are collecting SSI checks that are never paid into it. As a matter of fact, I know that. I've done an investigation on it. People who aren't U.S. citizens. Yes, why are they having bank accounts? Why are they getting home loans? Why? Because of greed. Exactly what you said. Greed. If you want to know who's ultimately responsible for all of this, it's us. Our apathy, our complacency, sanctuary cities, holding the proverbial carrot out in front of people. Come here. It's a great place. Get a home. Get this. Get that. They've got no business buying a home. None. You're absolutely right. Greed is it. Greed is it. New York, Irvin. Irvin, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Irvin.
Yeah, Rick. I'm just following up on a previous caller, the gentleman that said that Americans aren't paying attention and because basically we have our water, we have our lights, we have our food, and so on and so forth. But guess what? Based on what you are saying, it's just the tip of the iceberg. Eventually, our dollar's not going to be worth anything. We're not going to be able to buy food. We're not going to be able to have water. And that's what it's going to come to. And people do have to definitely wake up because everybody knows who the American Idol is, but they don't know what's going on around them in their banks and with their investments and so on and so forth. And people need to pay a lot more attention.
You know, that's a good point. You know, you will be hungry soon in some form at some level. You will be hungry soon if we do not get a handle on this. And I'm not talking about the government. I'm talking about the people, because the government is supposed to serve the people at our convenience. That's not happening. As a matter of fact, the direct opposite is happening. Irvin, thank you for the call. I want to give away another book. Larry, I'm going to drive Michael into the poorhouse with this. Psychological Nudity, Michael's brand new book, a collection of 75 stories. Some of them you've heard portions, some you missed. It is a great, great read. And I want you to have a copy. Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. As a matter of fact, let me do that right now. Jackie, calling from Virginia. Jackie, welcome to the Savage Nation. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's your favorite Michael Savage story that you're looking forward to in the book?
One-arm Frank.
The one-arm. Okay. Very briefly, to give people a thumbnail sketch of that story.
Well, I don't remember too much about it, but I would like to say something else, if it's okay.
No. Please.
Okay. Here's the, talking about the problems we got. Here's one of the major problems we got here in the United States. We got shutting down the American factories and throwing American workers out in the street, and that's one of the major problems we are having right now with this financial.
Jackie, hang on. You're upset, aren't you?
Yeah, part of it. That's part of the problem. You hear people losing their homes and losing everything they got, and they don't tell it all on the news like it should do it. They should tell a real problem. People are losing their jobs on top of jobs and being thrown out in the street, and that's the major problem right here. And NAFTA needs to be stopped, or the people in this country. I mean, it's just, you look at the economy right now, and the economy is not going to get no better until NAFTA is stopped and stop giving the American jobs away and hurting this country like it's being done.
Jackie, I got you, and I can hear the passion in your voice. You're upset. I want you to hang on, though, because I want to make sure you get a copy of Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. But do you hear what Jackie's saying? Do you hear it? The regional accent makes no difference, whether it's from New York or the Deep South or the West Coast, dude, or wherever you happen to be. The outrage is there. The passion is there. You know, people are fed up. The government has finally pushed you too far. There's nowhere else for you to go. There's nowhere. Big businesses are leaving because they're overtaxed. This government, for whatever reason, continues to do business with a country that tells its people to come here illegally. Why? Because the people here illegally sending money back to Mexico is the second largest source of income for that country. Sanctuary cities, our doors are open, even though they're ruining the infrastructure, even though they're making home loans to people that can't pay those loans. I tell you what, if you want a step forward, a good faith step, government, give me a full accounting of how many of these mortgages that have been defaulted on were made to people that shouldn't even have been in this country in the first place. Yeah, try a little truth with the American people, because what you're selling now is not working. It's not working. And I know some of you listening right now, some of you probably, just talk show host. He doesn't. At the end of the day, the people will always come back to the public trough if we promise them enough. And sadly, there's a large group that will. but there's an ever-growing group of American citizens that have had it. They've had it. They've had it with trying to work two and three jobs to put food on the table. They've had it trying to make their mortgage payment when the guy walk across the street walks away, gets another one, walks away from that, gets another one, walks away from that. It's wrong. The government needs to be stopped, and the only thing that can stop them, and they know this, the only thing that can stop them is you. That's it. Just as you stopped the blanket amnesty with the Bush administration, you can stop this. A full and complete asset exam of all the banking officials, CEOs, and everyone else involved in this, in full view of the American public, is the very least they can do. When they come to you saying you need to bail out to the tune of $700 billion, and you and I know that's probably not even half of what they really need, the least they could do is at least put it on the table where you could see what you're buying into. I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're just arrogant enough. Somebody called earlier and used the word arrogance. What a great word. This is certainly apropos. They are too arrogant to do that. Well, we're the government. Do as we say, not as we do. We know best. The redistribution of wealth. Give from the... Oh, wait a minute. That's socialism, isn't it? It's funny how that socialism word keeps popping up. All right. More of your call straight ahead. 1-800-449-8255. I want to give another Michael Savage book away. I'm going to do that in just a second, too. 1-800-449-8255. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage, and you're on The Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation, toll-free everywhere, 1-800-449-8255. Another copy of Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. I'm going to give that away in just a second. I'm going to get to your calls. The bailout, the rescue, I don't know, call it what you want. You know, I've got a lot of problems with these taxpayer bailouts. Forget the government. It's the taxpayer bailout. You know, I'm especially worried that at least as of last week, the government is actually printing money to make up the difference to support the FDIC. Now printing money, that's runaway inflation. It's like we're living in Zimbabwe or something. The key problem, these bailouts do what? They reward failure. They reward failure. Now, the CEOs, the presidents, the VPs, the board members, they already know. They've been rewarded as they jumped in their Mercedes and took off. But these bailouts reward failure. We're paying to reward the failure of individuals and businesses without the consequence of their failure. So what's to stop this from happening in the future? I mean, think about it for just a second. Could you run your business like this? Could you run your family like this? No, you couldn't. New York, Corrine. Corrine, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I have five very quick points I'd like to make. First of all, the language of the bill says, or the proposal says, that the $700 billion would be the maximum that we would take on at any given time. So practically, it would be like a revolving line of credit that they can tap into over and over again, and basically recycle that. So that's how they could eventually balloon it. And they could still lie to us and say, hey, we never went above the $700 billion that we keep harping about.
At any one time.
Because it's a, exactly. There's a the original proposal was on the New York Times. My second opinion about the cash for trash line that's going around, and the Democrats say that they want equity instead. Well, the problem with that is that these shares later on can be diluted. So as the company grows, they can take various types of action that would make the taxpayers' equity basically be worthless all over again. My third point is the people who cannot value these assets right now are going to be the ones assigned as government agents to sell them, to value them, and then sell them to some investor to be determined at another time.
Well, exactly, so, Corrine. Exactly. In the interest of time, give me four and five very, very quickly. Very quickly.
Quickly. If the credit market is frozen now because of a transparency problem, they should just make an executive order to make sure that the holders of these assets know exactly how much they're worth, how much what they're holding is worth. And fifth and finally, if we're being told that this is going to work, that this plan is going to work, then it's a show of good faith, which could require these people to pay back these bonuses before we put in any of our own taxpayer dollars.
There you go, Corrine. And I agree with the latter part. You know, look, that should happen whether they get it or whether they don't. That should happen. I mean, that's justifiable. Why should you make $20 million as an individual when you've bankrupted a company and you have set about in motion this revolving credit line? And that's essentially what it is, Corrine. I'm amazed that you got this. Not that you couldn't, but I mean, most people won't read that detail in this proposal. It's a revolving $700 billion credit line, which means it'll probably end up being over $1 trillion. Man. I've got so much to say on that, but great call, Corrine. Thank you so much. Don't be a stranger. Let's go to Sacramento. Laura, I feel like giving away another copy of Michael Savage's book, Psychological Nudity. Do you have a favorite story? A favorite story in that that collection of 75?
Amen. Because she told me.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. What's your favorite story?
When pasta was spaghetti.
Okay. All right. Yet another comment, obviously.
That's a classic. And all I want to know is, why is it that we're throwing in good money behind bad money? I thought that was a bad investment idea when you throw in good money behind bad money.
That works for us. But see, we're the unwashed masses. We're Main Street. You have to realize that Wall Street is much more intelligent. Oh, yes. Amen. They are much more insightful, you see. They deal in things that most of us simply wouldn't understand. You little people, don't worry about it. Let the inside the Beltway boys and let Wall Street work together. They'll come out of their smoke-filled room, sherry glasses in hand and big cigars, and tell the rest of us what's good for us. All right? That's right. They'll go in. They'll take care of it. We'll just sit out here with our checkbooks ready, and then they'll come out and tell us how much they need, and we'll be happy about it. Listen, I want you to stand by very quickly, because I want to get you a copy of Michael Savage's new book, Psychological Nudity. It's a collection of 75 stories. Some you've heard, some you've not heard. You need to get the. It's a great, great, great read. And again, I want to send you to michaelsavage.com. Michael was talking earlier about derivatives. That you should know at the drop of a hat what that is, how it plays into this equation, what they're talking about when they say derivatives. It won't take up a lot of your time, but just take a moment, take your sparkling beverage or your cup of tea or whatever it is, and sit down at your computer, michaelsavage.com, all right? And just plan to stay there for just a little bit. It'll be well worth your time. I promise you that. What's going to transpire in the next 24 hours with this proposal? I don't know. It's anybody's guess. It's the American government. Who knows what they're going to come up with? But we will wait with bated breath. This is Rick Roberts, always a pleasure, setting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.